Are live on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5, New Orleans, 104.7, Pass Christian. And we are broadcasting to the world, as always. And people, listen, you know what? I got a few thousand people in Iran. I hear 25,000 people in Iran listening to us. And you wonder who they are. And are they just government people? Is it like the Ayatollah plotting against, you know, your good old buddy Angley here at UPRN? Good luck trying to find me, dude. I'm up in Ithaca, man. You know, come here. You can't find anybody. Nothing but trees and waterfalls and vineyards. That's right. Anyway, it just makes you wonder, you know, when you look at the list of people who listen to the show around the world, like, you know, if there's people in Cambodia or Brazil, it just makes you wonder. And then also it changes the show. It morphs it because you start talking to those people. You start talking to the people who are listening to you, you know. And I'm always thankful for the big audience here in the U.S. and the U.K. and Australia, of course, and places like that, you know. But when you see these other countries like Iran come up, it's like, wow. People there are starting to pay attention. And no, I don't think they're all government people. I don't think their government people are allowed to listen to stuff like this. You know, you hear the Ayatollah, he's slamming all of his people for making that nuclear deal with Obama. We didn't like it either. And then he's like, it should never have happened. You know what? We all agree. We all agree it should never have happened because these are people who threaten death before they pray. What kind of stuff is that? I thought when you go to pray, it's supposed to be some nice spiritual thing and whatever. No. You know what it's about? Money, power, greed, corruption, all those things. So I don't ever remember when Jesus said, go build me a church. I don't ever remember anybody who had anything decent to say about humanity say, go start me a religion. You know, so same for Lao Tzu, the philosopher Lao Tzu. They tried making Taoism into a religion years after. You know, it doesn't work. It's not a religion. It's a philosophy. So whatever. If it's made by man, you don't want it necessarily, you know, especially some kind of belief or religion. You don't want it. And I look out there in the world and I use my own eyes. I don't have to get my opinion from Fox or CNN or any of these people. They don't even have an opinion. They have an agenda. The people on there aren't pushing an opinion. Maybe that fits along to their lifestyle, but it's an agenda, nothing but an agenda. And then the harder they push, the more I laugh in their face, because that's not what we're supposed to be about in this country. We're supposed to be about being the individual, you know, not listening to anyone and not kowtowing to any politician or corporation. But I see Nancy Pelosi recommending that Donald Trump get mental health and some kind of evaluation. The family should have an intervention. And I think this is the same Nancy Pelosi that has constant brain farts, you know, where she's talking and then boom, she just like, you know, or she refers to Trump more than half the time as Bush. So, I mean, that's where her head is at. And she's elderly, you know, and they all are. And you know what? These are the people who are in control. And I, if it was me, I would give them all mental fitness tests. If it was me, I would make them all take truth serum before they go into Congress. If it was me, I would give them all lie detectors. I want to know what the hell the truth is. We can't trust people at their word, obviously. Obviously, you can't do it, you know. And I'm not in the business of believing people, you know, I'm not in the business of it. So glory hounds, it's all about them. Congress got in there. The Democratic Congress said they were going to do all this good stuff. They haven't done anything yet. Nothing, 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 anything. Now they're talking about the whole infrastructure plan. And this is a big deal. This is a lot of jobs for a lot of people. Not only that, it's safety. A lot of bridges, a lot of roadways, a lot of things that just need to be replaced, need to be done. So now Trump is like, well, as long as you're investigating me, I'm not going to discuss this infrastructure plan. So that's my problem with him. Use people against each other, you know, divide the people, make them fight it out. Both sides are doing it, by the way. So it's not just him, it's both sides. But they do it and they're happy to do it. These people are multimillionaires, if not billionaires. They don't know how people are living. They don't care how people are living. The only thing they care about is money in their pocket and power. You know, so once you get to a certain point, where money means nothing to you, when you're so rich when you're so wealthy, money means nothing. It's games that come in after that. It's moving things around in power. When they can't buy anything better, they can't get a better yacht, they can't get a better house, they already have everything. Money, and their money just accumulating. These wealthy people like Warren Buffett, his pile just grows and grows and grows. He's got the nerve to say, I should be taxed more. I don't want this much money. Oh my God, I don't want this much money. I want to give it away. Then give it away. What the hell is stopping you from giving your money away? Nothing. You know, drive around some cities and throw money out the window of your limousine. Whatever, man. Give the money back to the people. No, he's not going to do that because he loves his money. He loves to count his money. He wants to control people, divide people, and do all of that. And they do a good job of it. And these are the ones that are in control, all calling for a fitness test against one another. Trump saying crazy Nancy. You know what, man? I'm tired of all that. I'm tired of the whole lack of class in the whole situation. I'm tired of these people being elected representatives, yet they don't do a job. They don't do the job. If they had a real job and they went into that real job and they just all day long, they just jerked off and yelled at each other and did nothing, they would get fired from that real job. We are stuck. We're stuck with people. We're stuck until the next election cycle. And then bang, you only have two choices. Oh, that's it. You know, choice number one, and choice number two, and they're both terrible. They're both terrible. So don't tell me about all this freedom. You know, because freedom is being able to make your own choices. Much of the time, for most people in this country, they cannot make their own choices. They are stuck. They're stuck, you know, and that's the problem. You know what I mean? So, and then you see all these people, this Mayor Pete, right? This guy's funny, man. I don't know how these dudes come out and they think they're actually going to be able to be successful in running this country, that it's just all about ego, I guess. And this dude, he's riding on the gayness, you know. He's gay. He's riding on the gayness. He keep pointing out that he's gay. So I thought it was wrong to point out that you're gay and then use that for something, or what color you are, or what religion. I thought it was all wrong. Everybody's saying in the politically correct world, well, it's wrong to point these things out about people, or to use them in some way or some favor of thinking about them, right? But here they come, you know? Same thing for this Cortez. She's a young female Latina. Well, what difference does that make? Young female Latina means nothing. You're elected representative. You're there to do the job. I don't care what the hell you are. I didn't vote you in for what you are. I didn't vote her in at all. As a matter of fact, nobody did. As a matter of fact, you know, really, in the primary they did, but in the race itself was unopposed. So nobody did. They just handpicked what they thought was going to look best in their social media world, and they put that forward with multi-million bucks behind her. So why is she any different from any of these other people? Because she says she is? Come on, man. What do we always say here? Everybody together, man, all together. People are always the opposite of what they say they are. It's that way. So good. Mayor Pete comes in. He's swiping at Biden, which is easy to do. It's easy to do. He's swiping at Trump. It's easy to do. And the people out there who want a good president and don't want to play around, you know, and definitely don't want a knee-jerk reaction going the other way. We had that with Obama. And you know what? It came in with Bush. Knee-jerk reaction all the way to the right. But then it came – and no representation, by the way, nothing. It was a nightmare the whole time. And then it came in with – and don't forget, when Bush's – you know, when his reelection came up, it was John Kerry that ran, right? So he wasn't going to win. You know what he was busy doing? He was busy skiing down mountains and hanging out on his yacht, partying, laughing, dancing, instead of going out there and campaigning. He's a wealthy man, Forbes money. He didn't care. He just ran to run. And then it's all about the bullcrap, right? All about the bullcrap. So he stuck with Bush for all that time. Then Obama gets in, says he's going to be different, going to change the way Washington works. They all say the same goddamn thing. They're going to change the way Washington works. And then boom. 8 years of a nightmare, of a bunch of lies, scandals, lies. I love how the people that support him say he's scandal-free. It's ridiculous. Scandal-free? When? You know? So, whatever, man. This is the deal. They're all the same on both sides of the coin. They're all the same. And no matter what they say, doesn't matter because they're all liars. So if you think they're all the same and they're all liars and all corrupt, then what do? You want to be able to change the system, and you can't because you're stuck. You're stuck in a box. The system is a machine. The machine runs the way it runs. You know, you think you want honest people, and people are going to be upstanding members of the community. People have some kind of class. They're distinguished. That's not going to happen because the people who rise in these political parties are the biggest, filthiest liar cutthroats you're going to find. That's how they get there. And they run commercials against each other. You know, you could be the best person in the world. Here comes this big machine with a PAC fund behind it, running commercials against you nonstop, telling people, making things up as they go along, saying that you're the worst possible person in the world. And guess what? People believe what the hell they hear. They believe what their masters say. The people who follow MSNBC believe anything they say. They don't have a mind for themselves. They don't think for themselves. Same thing for Fox and all these different channels. The people that believe what those people say, that are into those people, are just going to sit there and believe it. And then that's it. And then they're going to vote like that, you know? So it's just a game. And it's just a game. And then people are trying to buy your vote. And I love the ones that are coming out and just, you know, Trump is terrible. He's evil. And bah, we're going to impeach him. I'm like, impeach him for what? I have staunch liberal friends, and I ask them all the time, impeach him for what? Oh, because he's a bad guy. I'm like, bad guy? Yeah, he is. But you can't impeach him for that. You impeach him because he makes liberals cry? You know? You gonna impeach him because you don't want him there? And that's really what it is. And that's why I resent having to stick up for him, because it's a coup. It's a coup from the Democratic Party, because they didn't want him there. They don't want him there. They still don't want him there. And then they're all talking what we're going to do, what we're going to do. And then Nancy Pelosi gets in there and she starts singing one tune. And then she sees that you have young, popular people who are heavily funded, who are out there screaming socialism. And then the left makes an extreme turn to the left. And then, boom, Nancy Pelosi has to run and speed herself up to get up to with these people and then try to you know, placate her group. So you have a lot of establishment Democrats who are not into the socialism stuff. So they say maybe about 20% of the Democratic Party supports the whole socialism angle. So then you got 80% that doesn't. So that 80% is looking at a Joe Biden, because I'll say this about him. He is the only one calling for an end of this division, calling for people to get together. He is the only one doing it. Trump isn't doing it. Nancy Pelosi isn't doing it. No other Democratic candidate is doing it. Nobody. They're just talking crap all the day long. Blabbity, blabbity, blow. All the day long. What has nothing to do with representing Americans. Has nothing to do. And a lot of these Democrats are more concerned with representing people from other countries than their own people in their own country. You know, then I read a story about Los Angeles. I love reading stories about California, because California doesn't seem capable of running their own government, you know. And then every time I see these stories, oh, yeah, cops getting staph infections because they're touching homeless people or blankets homeless people were sitting on because they have an enormous homeless problem in L.A. Oh, no. The last story was great. The mountains of trash that have picked up because the city doesn't want to pick it up. They don't want to. Maybe they just don't feel like it. They, you know, they are underfunded, and then they short gap themselves in their spending. People are leaving. Not enough tax money's coming in, as far as they're concerning, even though they're collecting an unbelievable amount of taxes, right? Pounds and pounds and pounds of garbage, tons of garbage, garbage piling up. You know what happens then? You know what happens when trash piles up? Rats come. Oh yeah, rats. I'm from the city, man. You know. You can't talk to somebody from New York City without getting their favorite rat story. There's rats, and rats will show up. In fact, the only thing keeping New York City up and floating instead of like falling to the water is not land. It's floating on rats, man. You know what I mean? That's why all these big storms come by. The city kind of just floats a little higher off the rats that is supporting it, you know? And the politicians don't want to get rid of rats out of professional courtesy. They just won't do it. So what happens? You have rats running through City Hall. You have people in LA walking through City Hall and hear these rats running right in front of them. You know? Yeah, man. That's not cool. And then people getting typhus because of it, because these rats are carrying fleas and other type of stuff and it's jumping on people and people getting sick. There you go. That's LA. That's California. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And then the more people they're inviting in, the more homeless people are piling up. It doesn't make any sense that they're going to give people who come over the border illegally thousands of bucks a month to survive and live and all these freebies while you have Americans who are homeless, who are just sitting there in the streets, you know, wasting away. Just like that. Most of them have mental health problems and nobody does anything about it. It's all lip service. Oh, yeah, you have lots of organizations that get started out there. They're going to save people's lives and whatever. They are out there for themselves. You know, they'll take one or two people, make them the spotlight of their work and say, look at this. And they collect more money while they can pat themselves on the back. But the statistics tell the story. You want to know about the drug problem in America? Look at the rate of death. Look at the mortality rates attached to it. And then you tell me that they're getting on top of it and doing something about it. You know, and you could do that with anything. You could do that with anything. You know, you can find statistics on anything and anybody because they love to count. The same government that will bullcrap you loves to count, especially dead bodies. So, you know, the homeless people are suffering. And the homeless problem is out of control in places like L.A. and San Francisco. San Francisco, where, you know, a lot of these homeless people are so aggressive and angry and will get in your path and basically rob you as you're walking down the street. You're not going to be able to get past them without giving them some money. You know, it's basically a strong arm robbery. The police will sit there and watch it. You know, that's total dereliction of duty. They sit there and watch it happen. Say, well, this guy just basically took my money. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. There are business owners in San Francisco that say these homeless people come in, take what they want and leave. You know, they steal, they rob them blind basically and leave. Then they see the stuff that they stole from their stores on Craigslist for sale. They call the police. The police say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Imagine that. Nothing they can do about it. But if you stop them and you take the law into your own hands, you do something like that, then the cops will come and arrest you. So really, you have a government and a society telling people that, you know, you have no recourse, that you can't protect yourself, and that these people can come in and do whatever they want to do. So people are leaving California. People are leaving New York. They don't want to be around that. So if all these liberal utopias are so amazing, why is there any pain and suffering there? Why is there all this stuff? Why don't they have the best of everything? Why isn't it like Shangri-La? You walk through the door and bang, you're in the best possible place. You are in utopia. It's not. It's the worst possible place you want to be. It's full of crime. It's full of anger. It's full of hate. It's full of destruction. These are the cities that are crumbling. New York City. Now they're talking about AOC being the mayor of New York because this idiot in there now is on his last term. He announced he's running for president, Bill de Blasio. People had a really good laugh over it, but he's going to be in that field of 23 people running for president. And he's suggesting that she should be the mayor. And that's really, you know what it is? It's the Democratic Party trying to get rid of her out of Congress, and they don't care where she goes. They're happy to destroy New York City by putting AOC in charge. They're happy to, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, go ahead. You know, it's not going to affect the rat population any. In fact, you're adding one more, you know. So good luck. Good luck to you. Good luck to you, you know. And I'll tell you something about my life. I deal with a lot of people, man. I'm a private investigator, so I'm in the business of not trusting people, you know? And same thing for police officers. They're in the business of helping people, you know? When you hire a PI, a whole bunch of things will happen, but, you know, depending on what you want and what you're looking for, if you're trying to solve some crime the cops couldn't solve or whatever, you know, or if it's an insurance thing you're getting in on or trying to find missing persons, there's all kinds of things. But people will lie, bold-faced lie to your face and not even mean to, not even want to. It's like a natural reaction with a lot of people that just freaking, they don't want to be, associated with what you're doing. So they're happy to chase you off. Unless people want to turn somebody else in, then they're happy to talk to you all day. Just give you all kinds of information on other people, especially when they're mad. So, but I'll tell you, in this country of ours, that type of mistrust is growing. And there's a lot of people, I read stories, obviously, and I read a great one about millennials and how they have no savings and no 401k because they blame it on climate change because, I know, because they say that they're not going to be alive in the future. You know, AOC gave out 12 years as the climate scientist that she is and doomsayer. 12 years, not much time to get your affairs together. So you have a whole generation that's just believing garbage of being spewed out by anybody. They're not challenging it. You know, they do their – the fact checkers on the internet are all liberal groups. So, you know, when people say, look at Snopes, I'm like, do you know what that guy is and what he does? And they're like, you know, he ended up like being with some hooker and making her part of his business. And there's like all crazy stuff going on there. These are not the people you want in your living room. And while you're getting your information from them, or even believing what they say, or even believing anything on the internet that people will print that aren't a legitimate source, or what is a legitimate source these days? It's hard to find. You know, I turn people on to things like the LA Times because I believe in them. And I know they're right in the heart of LA, but I will tell you this, they're pretty truthful and they're spot on with their polls and they're good at it. So, you know, for someone who uses information on their show and wants to use the right information and not the wrong information, you dig for information, you appreciate those sources. You know, you really do. Facebook's crap. You can't appreciate any source on Facebook. It's run by a guy who's only concerned about money and power. You know, that dude doesn't, Sir Zuckerberg doesn't care about anything else. He's a liar. He's all about, you know, intruding upon your privacy. Even if you think you have privacy, you're deluded. There is no such thing anymore. And then here's a headline. Facebook, 3 billion accounts plus 3 billion plus accounts removed. These were false accounts. So you know how you're on there and some girl in lingerie like sends you a friend request. And there's a lot of dudes out there that are horn dogs that actually think that they would have a chance with someone like that and add them to their thing. And then when they do, these hackers get in or they download their friends list and they start approaching people that way and whatever. It is no good. No good, right? But they allow it and they allow it for a long time. And now they're trying to get on top of stuff like that. And I don't add people unless I really want to add people. And I tend not to because it's a small group. I have a Michael Angley page that anybody can join. And if you want to see what I'm doing, you can go there. You know, but like my private thing is altogether private all on its side. But yet, like I said, it's not private because they know what you're doing. You know, they know what you're searching for. They'll send those ads at you. God forbid if you search for something on the internet, you're going to get a string of ads coming at you about whatever you search for. And it helps to search for sexy lingerie, man, because if you're going to be bombarded by something, it's better to do that than you know, a dog bowl or whatever the hell you looked up, you know, diapers or something, man. Yeah, diapers. Yeah, I'm watching TV. One of my favorite subjects to complain about is commercials because I hate them. So I tend not to watch a lot of network TV or anything that has commercials involved, you know. And then everything else is boring, Netflix or whatever. They all have the same old stuff. Movies either I saw a dozen times or movies I don't want to see. Bollywood, I don't consider that even content. But anyway, I'm like looking at these commercials and then which is one more disgusting commercial after another. And it's mainly about drugs. It's mainly about these designer drugs. They want you to buy the stuff, people with their skin condition or whatever. And then like you sit there trying to like eat a hamburger, you know what I mean? And then here's this commercial and the guy's like, oh, I have, you know, this skin condition or whatever. And like, you know, here's a picture of it. Like, because as soon as he's talking about it and I'm listening, I'm like, okay, at least I won't have to freaking see it. You know, he's talking about it. At least I don't have to see it. Then they hold it up. Biggest in the world. Like the guy's gross ass skin condition, like right there in front of your face. And you want to throw up your hamburger all over the floor. And then that's what they're doing. Or the people dancing around because they have incontinence. There's one commercial, this woman's like making the mad dash for a bathroom, right? Because she has a problem with incontinence, right? So she's about to poop herself. And she's running to the, or pee herself, whatever. She's running to the bathroom. And then here it is, slow motion, man. They slow it down. She drops the mug of coffee she's carrying, smashes on the ground. She has important papers. She threw them because she's about to crap herself. She's getting to the door of the bathroom. She grabs it and then tries to open it, and someone's in there. They're probably in there like texting, you know. They're probably in there sitting like on Facebook, like do 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 do, or taking a picture, a selfie of themselves sitting on the toilet. Yeah, people do that. Pretty disgusting. And then you know that woman pooped herself. You know, sitting there in your living room that you just watched that. You know that woman just pooped herself in that commercial right there. And then here comes this other one posing as a doctor, because like most of these people who are in commercials, they're not doctors, they're actors, you know. They're not people using the product, they're actors. they're just there to sell the crap to you. They're there to brainwash you. They're there to show you. You ever see the commercials with the grandmother and the daughter and the granddaughter, and they're all together having a special moment with, you know, some kind of nice orange juice or whatever. It's a normal family thing that they all do together. So in your mind, they're normalizing it with their family tradition. This is what it is. This is what they're having. Bull crap. It's just selling. They're selling. But then this next commercial came on. This woman's like, no, I'm like, there's a string of them. And I'm like, ugh. I'm like just writhing in my chair. I'm like, I'm going to shut the goddamn TV off and walk away at this point because I'm just disgusted. I forgot what the hell I was watching to begin with. And then, you know, here's another commercial about diapers. Super thin diaper. So you got a woman. She's thin, whatever, putting on this diaper because she's got issues. Then she's at dinner 10 minutes later. Sitting there laughing with a dude, and he's like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I'm wondering, like, does this guy know that, like, she's wearing a diaper? Like, if you have that knowledge, you're on a date, and you know your date's wearing a diaper. I mean, does that change things for you? Does that kind of, like, take the flow out of the dinner, I wonder? So it's just stuff like that I don't need to see. And it's a private issue. If you're pooping yourself, then please control it, you know? Do something about it. But I don't need to know about it because I'm not doing it. And if I was doing it, I certainly wouldn't share it with anyone. And I wouldn't be looking for medical advice on commercials, man. Wouldn't be doing it. People say, well, ask your doctor about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll ask the doctor about it before I go to the commercial. Say, you know, I'm pooping myself nonstop and I need to stop it. You know, I've got a problem, man. Well, go home and watch commercials until you see what you want. Then come back and ask me for it. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say, hey, okay. I know you got a pooping problem. I look at my floor, my office. You know, you're like shitting yourself in the doctor's office. And the doctor's like, well, you got to take this medication here, 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 and here. And then here's another prescription for this in here. Yeah, and it's that simple. You know that? It's not about wearing diapers. I feel for people that have to. And then you know what? I'm inquisitive. So then I look up the rates and numbers of people who have these conditions or people who need to wear diapers. It's very low, very, very low, right? Very low. I mean, like when it comes to that skin condition I was talking about, turns out like 750,000 people in the U.S. a year have that outbreak. 750,000. Yet it's every other commercial that's on TV is the same thing, pushing the same stuff. With the same people, with the same skin outbreaks that I have to watch. What the hell is that all about? 750,000? So you may tell me in the Ithaca market for Fox News, right, or HGTV, because they all have the same commercials, the History Channel. I'm sitting there. You may tell me that you're targeting the 750,000 people that may, every 3 years, they're talking about for outbreaks. So even less than 750,000, but you're going to tell me that, let's keep that amount, 750,000. There's 330 million Americans, not including millions of illegal aliens, all that. You mean to tell me that that commercial is trying to target those 750,000 people in this great country of ours, and then those people are going to be like, wow, I need to get that medicine so I can clear up my skin. So really, the amount of people that are probably watching that commercial during those times or any time of day is more like a handful of people that actually have the issue. Maybe, right? Then it turns out that, and I'm thinking, okay, and I've talked about this before on the show a little while ago, I'm thinking like, how can these companies afford to do this? You know, to because advertising is not free. How can they afford to spend millions of bucks in advertising per day for these things when they're not going to make that money back, even if all 750,000 people start pouring in their doors, buying all these products from them? They're still not going to make their money back. You know, how can they afford to do this? You know how? The taxpayers fund it. They have special deals through lobbyists, through politicians, through Washington, D.C., where taxpayers' dough funds all these things. So you mean tell me they're going to take millions of our dollars for these commercials per day, millions and millions of bucks, when we could be fixing roads and building parks, or helping people get out of poverty, or helping take homeless people and get them some kind of transitional housing? You mean to tell me that those drug commercials, and the only two places in the world that allow drug commercials on TV is the United States and New Zealand, the only two places in the world, and we also advertise drugs that are addictive, and they have no problem doing that? And then now there's a big court case, of course, going on with Purdue, and then Purdue has to pay their way out of it. No one's going to jail. No one's going to do any of that because they lied about OxyContin being addictive. They told people it was not addictive. And those doctors, when people were coming back to those doctors and saying, hey, you know, I need more of this. I need more of this. And the doctors, you know, okay, here's some more. And they're not telling the people, hey, it's highly addictive. Don't take it. I think a lot of people should be in jail at that rate. A lot of people should be locked up because they're all liars. You know, they lied for a profit. They lied for greed. They lied for gluttony. And then that's what you have in politics. That's why people really have to wear diapers, because then when the news hits you how corrupt things are and you poop yourself, you're protected, you know, or you break out some rash because you can't take it anymore, right? And it doesn't matter if you watch like private TV shows, you know, like just or TV shows, you know, or movies and things that don't have commercials. How's that? It's better than saying private. Things that don't have commercials, right? They still have commercials because they still use products as product placement inside these movies, inside these TV shows. So when they tilt that Coca-Cola bottle towards you, or they're using a certain thing or whatever, and there's the name, or they say it a dozen times, it's what they're doing. And they're selling it to you, right? And they have no problem doing it. And then, you know, my thing lately, I'm trying to find content that isn't so violent, because I don't need the violence in my life, you know? Don't need it. I don't need to sit there. I don't like watching anything that leaves me with negative feelings afterwards. You're supposed to watch something to make you feel better. Back in the day, movies were supposed to be people's release. You go there, you watch something good, it has a nice ending, good story, maybe mystery and suspense and thriller, but it has a positive ending. These days, nothing has a positive ending, you know? It's just more violence on top of violence and the cliffhanger to more violence. What does that do for people? It just puts people in a certain head. It makes them like, you know, oh, you know, life sucks and whatever. And, you know, like, you know, people say that to, you know, well, stop watching TV if it's that negative for you. You got to move on, listen to the radio instead, or watch YouTube, watch the show. And then you can have a laugh, maybe learn something or whatever the hell we do here. You know, it's lots of fun. This is my vent. This is me getting crap off my chest. And I need it because there's lots of stress. So I just read I read a lot of news, and I dig for the news. I love the fact that every country right now has like turmoil. Every government, everyone, Australia, the UK. Australia just elected a conservative government because they're tired of the games. They're tired of all this nonsense going on there. They're tired of the whole migrant thing. They're tired of a lot of stuff. And people are just sick and tired of being told how to live their lives. It's not supposed to be like that. But you see all this turmoil, like getting back to Iran. Now the Pentagon wants a military buildup there. So back to square one. Right? And then remember the Shah of Iran back in the day? And, you know, he had to leave, and then the Ayatollah went in there. Now it's a different Ayatollah. It's a theocracy. Their religion runs the government. And then this Ayatollah, you know, right now he wants to start chopping people's kneecaps off because of these deals that he said were made that should have been made. And they're going to defy everybody and make nuclear warheads anyway. And, you know, enough's enough. And if you think that Trump wants to solve the problem, you don't know Trump. If you think that anybody wants to solve the problem, threats are important because it keeps people scared. It makes people afraid. It writes lots of policy. Inside that policy, there's all kinds of money that gets spent, right? Whenever you have to splurge on defense, for instance, and start building things. And, you know, if you're having a buildup, you need more missiles. You need more everything. You're going to have a buildup. You need more troops. Costs more money. What's going to happen in the end? So I can go back into the 70s and peel out any newspaper, and those headlines will be nearly identical to the headlines today, which tells me that nothing changes, right? There, things are exactly how they want. You know, exactly how they want. And then that's the part of it that you have to wrap your head around. Why is it like that? Why can't we make the change? If there's more of us than there are of them, we should be able to make the change, right? We should be able to live however we want to live. So then it tells me that people are living how they want to live. Otherwise, they would make the change, or they just believe bullcrap. They believe it. And then judging from the ones I talk to, they do. And man, there's some real believers out there, you know. And I'm like, wow, really interesting that all of this is going on in this 2019, on the verge of 2020, and these people in office act like babies. Nancy Pelosi and Trump and all these guys fighting. You know, you're gonna have a coup against a guy that you don't want in there. Yeah, there's gonna be trouble, but if you want to see the country completely dissolve and have a civil war, by all means, impeach the guy for nothing. If you have a reason to impeach him, do it. You have reason to do it, do it. Or just get on with your business and then, you know, run someone good against him and have him voted out if they think that they can. They have a field of 23 people. Not one of those people can beat Trump right now. Not one. And you see these polls. Well, the polls are from MSNBC and CNN. They're like, well, we show that Joe Biden's going to beat Trump by, you know, 40 points. Yeah, good luck to that. Really? And you're going to believe those polls? And who are they asking? When MSNBC does a poll, who's taking their poll? You know, same thing for Fox. It's the people who watch that crap. They're the ones taking the poll. You know, just like, you know, I don't get the way media, aside from the fact that they hate bait, they race bait, they do all that, they put people in groups and they hate on those people, and they get people hating on each other, then they point the finger at those people. Oh, look what they're saying, and they're evil and they're racist, right? There's a guy who was just incarcerated, you know, found guilty anyway, of rape. Right. He was a football player for Kansas and, you know, Kansas College. And anyway, so he was 20 years old. It happened a couple of years ago. He goes to a bar. There's a 17-year-old girl in the bar. He meets her, starts dancing with her, whatever. He's like putting his hands up her skirt and doing that. She says at that moment, because she was drunk and messed up, so she blamed it on the booze. She said that she was sexually assaulted, told him not to do it. He did it anyway. Then the guy brings her back to his place, which is a couple blocks away from this club. She was stumbling drunk. He brings her in. She didn't want to touch him. He raped her, whatever, right? Boom. She went to the hospital afterward, done the rape kit, you know, did this whole thing. So the guy got 12 years in prison, 12 years for raping her. They found the bruise marks on her thighs. They found other bruise marks on her and whatever, but she said she didn't consent. She was raped. Well, that's good enough, right? Because that's the deal. And then if you're with someone who's drunk and then they consent when they're drunk, a judge will tell you that they can't, that they're not capable because they're drunk. And then they take all the responsibility and put it on the other person who also might be drunk, right? So now in college, a lot of guys are afraid even to touch girls or go near them. In fact, the whole Me Too movement has made it where men don't want to mentor women because they're afraid. And not because they want to molest them or have sex with them. It's because they're afraid of being accused of it. But anyway, I'm not saying anyone's lying. Nothing. I'm just saying the guy got busted. He did going 12 years. He apologized. He said, that's not like him. I love it when criminals say, it's not like me. You know, this isn't like me. You know, normally I'm not much of a criminal. But, you know, in this thing, I was a criminal, but it's not like me. No, it is like you. You're a criminal. It is like you. That's what you are. It is you. But then one of my friends, who's black, on Facebook, who put this article out about this guy, except it was written by a certain hand. And they weren't concerned about the rape and how it happened and all the details. The only thing they said is that another black guy sent to prison for raping a white girl, and then, you know, no seminal fluid, none of that stuff was exchanged, you know, and then the doctor said that that doesn't mean she was raped. You know, the guy used a condom. Doesn't mean she was raped. They have other ways of finding out. But the article was specifically written to race bait and hate bait. So then you get a bunch of people all pissed off. So I find the real information and post it on his page under his little thing. And I say, here's an article with a little more information. That's all I said. And then, oh, my God, you know, the people are evil. White man's evil. And this is what happens and whatever. You know what? This girl got raped. Doesn't matter that she was white and he was black and nothing. She got raped. The guy raped her. He, you know, he apologized for raping her. He had basically admitted afterwards that he raped her and all that. So, yeah. What does that say for people? You know, what does that say for people? Now, the guy's going to do 12 years in prison. See, he was a good student and whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't know why these people say it's like some kind of an excuse. Well, he's a good student. What the hell does that mean? A good student? Lots of people are good students and they go out and commit murder and rape and terrible things, child molesters, whatever. They, you know, people are successful. They do that. It doesn't make you not a sociopath that you're a good student or a good football player. And don't tell me that someone's a good sports player and I'm supposed to take that as some kind of validation that they're a good person. It just says to me that they're good at their sport, which means nothing to me. If you rape someone, it means everything. It means I don't want you in my society roaming around. Where you going to do it again? Oh, it's not like me. But then you have media publications out there that are hate baiting. That in itself is hate speech. And these people are the same ones that call for an end to hate speech and a way to control hate speech, which I don't know how you could possibly do, because there's a lot of people doing it. There's a lot of anti-white stuff going on in these universities. That's hate speech. They don't think so, because they're the ones who are making all the claims to begin with. So what is it, man? Is it really that people are that lost? Yeah. And here you go. Talk about journalism. This Julian Assange, his espionage charges, as they say, the case is going to test First Amendment limits. And I'm going to tell you about this. This is my view of it as Michael Angley, right? This guy received stolen merchandise. He received stolen information. He knew it was stolen. He knew that the source it came from was that guy, Brad Manning, who changed his name at Chelsea, and now he thinks he's a girl, but he's not. And then now he's going back to jail, by the way, and may end up doing the rest of his time because Obama was the one who let him out. But it turns out that this guy's violating all these rules of his probation and this period where he's supposed to be keeping clean and whatever. Good, that's fine. Making a big deal out of it. But Julian Assange is a guy who took that material and printed it. Is that journalism? Or is that receiving stolen merchandise and using it to your advantage? I mean, like, it's actually very clean and just clear that I don't understand why people who are defending him think that he's some kind of journalist and that he's some kind of freedom warrior when he's not. The guy is totally self-serving. He's a glory hound. He's all about him. He likes to make trouble. But if you're going to come out, sure, you know, if you're going to be a whistleblower, then be a whistleblower. But if you're going to get a job in intelligence and take an oath and sign all of these non-disclosure forms and all the stuff that you have to get into by taking that job to understand that these are national security issues and you can't just go and spout them off. If you can't trust those people, you know, that's one thing. But if these guys take that job and it's standard business, what's going on, they come out with the information and they hand it over. They steal the information. It's espionage. It's being a spy, you know, and releasing the information to this idiot Julian Assange, who's going to go out there and then put it out in the media. Meanwhile, the guy's wanted for rape in Sweden, not just by one woman, by a couple. And then you get people, well, you know, maybe they're lying and whatever. I love that. You're going to make an excuse of maybe they're lying to defend the guy, but you don't know. How about you just go by what you know, by what the information is, that they want him to come back to put him on trial for rape, and he didn't want to do it. Why doesn't he want to do it? If he's innocent, he should do it. Is Sweden the kind of government that's going to go and lock up innocent people? The big liberal Sweden? Doesn't sound like Sweden to me. It sounds like they want to find out if these women were really raped. So good. You know what? You don't have to convince me that the guy's a criminal, because I've seen him partake in criminal activity. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. I've seen him take national secrets and release them. So if you're a journalist and you dig for information and then you come upon that information through an honest way, by all means, you should be able to print it anywhere you want and keep printing it. That's beautiful, because that's what an investigative journalist do. If you steal your information and then you're receiving information from people like that, then that's the wrong thing to do. But now it's become a thing. And, you know, it's really the anti-government people are really the ones who are sticking up for this guy. You shouldn't. Because, you know, I'm not all with the government stuff either. You know, I know we need one, but I know that there's a lot of corruption that we need to take care of. But I also know that you can't let these thugs, especially the people who are so self-serving, go out there and use other people and then hurt other people for their own personal gain. You know, so aside from a buddy of mine in Australia, it sticks up for him because he's Australian. Hey, man. I don't stick up for people from the United States if they do something wrong, you know? You got that American Taliban moron. They let him out, right? Johnny Walker Lind, you know? The American Taliban. The guy that went years ago to Afghanistan to fight against Americans. So he picked up guns against Americans, right? Then he went to jail in federal prison instead of going to Guantanamo because he is a citizen. He went to jail, did 17 years in federal prison. Now they let him out. So he's 38 years old, and he's still harboring radical views. He is angry, and then this guy is going to explode. So now he's under the gun. He's not supposed to own a cell phone, which is bullcrap because you can get one anywhere. You can get burner phones, little prepaid phones, and all that stuff. Doesn't matter. You know, he'll hook up with his jihadi buddies through the internet. There's things like Snapchat that erase immediately if you want it and that type of thing, so you can hide your tracks. You know, there's a lot of that going on. So with me, I wouldn't let the guy out in the United States. I would say, you served your 17 years. We're stripping you of your citizenship. We're shipping you back to Afghanistan so you can be with your people. That's it. Because those are the ones he wanted to be with. Those are the ones he wanted to go to the Taliban and fight with them and be with them and be a terrorist. Send him back and let him see what life is like. You see all these people trying to come back to the U.S. and the U.K. and all these other places who went to fight with ISIS and whatever, these women who went there and had a bunch of babies and they want to come back with their terrorist babies. And they're like, no, 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 you got to let me back. I hate it in Syria. I hate where I am. I don't want to be. I hate their laws. I hate what they do. Oh, really? So you went there to be a terrorist. Now you don't want to be there. And so, you know, there's one trying to get back here. We're not letting her back in. And she's trying to sue the American government to come back in. Meanwhile, she has no business being here because she went to go be a terrorist, you know? And you need to start holding a hard line on these guys. But, you know, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen because there's too much of a division going on. Look at that kid that died. They said that this teenager who's 16 from Honduras died in U.S. custody because he made the trip, came over the border illegally, and he had the flu. And let me tell you, this isn't like the normal flu you get here in the U.S. On the cold climate where flu lasts or whatever. You know, this is a different, this is like a swine flu. And this guy made a whole bunch of other people sick. Now they quarantine the whole facility because a whole bunch of people with the flu. This is what's coming over the border, right? And no one's looking out. They're going to blame Border Patrol or ICE. They're trying to dissolve ICE. You got the head terrorist. You got this Omar. She's out there saying that ICE should be dissolved and whatever. And, you know, it's funny how you have certain groups that will say that, you know, too many people are racist against Muslims. And if you have a Muslim leader, they wouldn't do something like that. You know, they wouldn't be what this woman is. She is like the perfect example of what you don't want as a politician, because this woman's hating on Jews and hating on Americans. You know, this anti-Semitic attacks are up. And then all this is happening, and she's out there talking about dissolving police forces in our country, things like ICE, you know, agencies that we need to get illegals out of the country, even though they're not doing much of it. Because if you look at the real statistics and who gets released and all this is going on, you'd be surprised about the flood coming over the border. And you know, a wall, a Trump, a fence, this Trump's fence and all this other stuff, useless. Useless, because it's not doing any good. Then, oh, we don't have enough money. We can't build the wall fast enough. Whatever. Come on, man. More excuses, more excuses, more excuses. And then who gets hurt in the end? Who gets hurt? Is you know who gets hurt? The victim. The victim. You know? So we need to be more understanding of how to protect ourselves in this country. And we're not, because you have political leaders that act like babies. They're in their 70s and they act like babies. So I'm going to leave that with you and end the show on that note. This is Michael Engley. I'm Michael Engley live May 23rd, y'all, 2019 on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pasadena, saying adios.